Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. And tonight we have a very special night planned for everybody. George Kavassalis is the guest tonight. With me tonight, doing her wingman like nobody else's business, is the beautiful Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, Goldie. Thank you. Hi. How we doing?
Okay, so here's the scoop, everybody. George has not phoned in yet. So I just got another caller. Let's see if they are. Hi, 575. Is this George?
No.
Okay. Oh. Thanks. What state is 575? So if I.
It's part of New Mexico.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks, because I have another 575, but clearly that's not George either. All right, stay on the line. You know, we're going to give George, you know, obviously some time. We're all looking forward to do this, and George is an absolute professional. I mean, Janine, share what you were just sharing with me.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I know he lives in Australia, and it's tomorrow, and you know, if he does, for some reason, like even in New Jersey, this happens. If you don't, maybe his internet went down, which I know he calls from probably Skype, or, you know, then he doesn't even have the wherewithal to even email Goldie and say, I can't make it. So, you know, if he doesn't, I'm just saying that the possibility, if there's no internet, it's down for whatever reason, then he may not be able to call in.
Right.
So I thought we should just give it a little time. And
Almost definitely, of course.
And then if not, we'll reschedule. And
exactly. So,
and, you know, we could talk about your frogs today. And we also, I'm feeling the compression. And I was, you know, I was really interested in what George would have to say about the compression.
That was my first question. Once we got, you know.
You know, it's my, Goldie and I do a show on Monday nights, and the way I describe it is, you know, holding space in the creative tension. But if you think about creative tension, it's a pressure, and it's an important place. It's not a place to run from. I think it's the place where change occurs, transformation occurs. But I'm feeling it, and you know, it's not necessarily always the most comfortable thing. But I'm just holding my space, and yeah, I wanted to hear what George had to say about compression. Because I heard him say in another interview that Goldie linked me up to listen to, and I was like, oh, I'd love to hear more on that. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we'll reschedule, I guess,
okay,
if he
does. Okay, and my friend from Norwalk, who I called in to tell him to listen to the show, just so you know, because I just saw his phone number come up, we're waiting for the guest. He's calling from Australia. So hang out. You know, this is by no means a canceled show. You know, we're talking halfway across the world, and by golly, there's a lot that can happen between this point and that point. So,
right.
You know, everybody, you know, kind of from your heart, you know, just say, George, call in another reality show.
But I believe he uses internet for that, you know?
No, I know. See, Janine is, of course, the voice of reason. And George is truly, I mean, he's always called in 10 minutes before, which is what I've asked him to do. This is why when I saw 5 minutes before the show and then 3 minutes and then 2 minutes when I didn't see George's number, you know, we might not have a show tonight.
But we will definitely reschedule.
Of course.
Because I think if in fact, you know, something's up and the compression, I mean, what's really called for is flexibility and, you know, creativity and, okay, what's plan B? And, you know, plan B would be reschedule and
And it would be ASAP, because I know Cynthia was telling me when she when she was booking this show, he had last week and this week available, and after that he's not available for 5 weeks. So
right.
It would be I got a full day of work tomorrow, so we could maybe do this sometime Friday during the day, or I have Saturday off, we could do it maybe Saturday night. That would, you know, as far as this week
mm-hmm.
goes. So
mm-hmm.
Or I could just quit. I could quit my new nanny job.
No, don't do that.
And do the show tomorrow. How are you, Jay Bird?
Well, you know, I've been doing paperwork. So that's kind of boring. But part of the compression, I think, that you kind of, you know, dealing with things that, like, I'm like, ugh, really? But yeah, I have to do some paperwork. So I've been doing that. But I was just thinking, Goldie, you were telling me earlier when we were talking about
all the frogs you
saw today.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, is area code 303 Australia? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I think it's Colorado.
Okay.
But, I mean, unless it's, you know, country code or something.
No, actually, usually, I know, let me just check just again. Listen, if area code 303, if you're George Kavassalis, hit number 1 on your phone, because you're just coming on, but you probably
haven't
got it. Or I think
it's Maryland, maybe.
Maryland? Well, right, because...
I'm not sure.
Well, we're 203, so, actually, I think it's Washington, no, Washington is 202. All right, they didn't hit the one. I don't think it's Australia.
Yeah,
so, I didn't mean.
So
to
I was just saying that, you know, in things occurring, which I really do think when you are dealing with across the world and internet and windstorms can knock out internet or for whatever reason, you know, I was just wondering if, like, in your frog, you saw so many frogs today. I was thinking, is that about, like, flexibility and, you know, just. You know, plan A kind of isn't working, go to plan B, or, you know, I don't know, what does frog mean?
Frog is, let me take my little microphone up to my wall. Frog,
okay. Well,
part of it is truth, answers, and path to goals. And if that's not George, I don't know what is.
Yeah, he's always great about calling in. So.
I know, and it's already 8:07. Well, I mean, let's just give it a few more minutes.
Okay.
But
sorry, everybody.
Yeah, I get the sense all of us are going to be disappointed. Believe me, nobody is more disappointed than me.
George is such an interesting man, and I loved what he was saying about. Being a hero as opposed to looking for the savior.
Heroine.
You know, looking outside yourself for the savior, but that, you know.
Oh wait. Okay, somebody's got 661. That might be him.
Hello.
George! Yay!
Hi.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
We got the times all mixed up, all the time zone conversions all mixed up. I'm so sorry.
No worries, my friend. No worries. I'm just glad we didn't open it. Oh, no, sweetie. It's so okay. Listen, you're doing a lot of interviews in a lot of time zones, so I'm so glad you're here, and I'm also glad you're all right, because, I mean, I was just about to say to everybody, all right, let's send out, you know, blessings for George that... because we didn't know what might have happened, so.
Oh, yeah, no, just we thought it was still an hour to go. I was getting ready for 11:30 my time. I didn't realize it was 10:30 my time that we were on, so apologies for that.
Apology accepted, no problem. It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. George is here. The frogs were right. It's all about the path to the goals.
Hi, George, it's Janine.
Hey, how are you, Janine?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah,
so,
good to be speaking to you both again.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. You know, George, you know I'm always a cuckoo bird when you're on the line. I'm just so glad you're here. So I have some questions prepared. I kind of want to dive in, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's get straight into it.
Oh, right on, my friend. Right on. Outstanding. Okay, and well, and before I do that, Virgie, you know Virgie? She sends her love, and she was very excited. I told her I would do it on the air so she could hear your response to that on the air.
Virgie, is that, I don't know, must be Virginia, is it?
I believe it is a Virginia. I think she's from Italy.
Yeah, Virginia from Italy, that's right.
Okay,
oh,
yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Wow,
you're very
that's
welcome.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is what I've done, and I put together questions with the intention to build, like, or to create a holographic reference that people can refer to as we kind of go through, you know, the March 21st equinox and ahead, because it seemed like that's the way the questions were coming. Now, they're not necessarily going to be in any kind of sequence because my brain doesn't work that way. But as a whole, I think it's going to be an excellent reference, you know, for all of us. The people that are listening live can listen again, and other people, you know, can grab it in the archives. So, with that said, all right. So, George, you've been talking a lot about the compression, and we're all feeling it. And I was hoping that you could tell us, like, the association between the compression and the true end of the cycle, which is happening on March 21st.
Yeah, so if we don't narrow it down to a specific moment, but we can actually feel that we're already experiencing it, that's how it is for me. It's not just, you know, an instantaneous moment. You can look at it from that point of view if you want, but I choose not to just view it as an instantaneous moment. I think it's a lead-up, it's a turning point, and then it's what happens after the turning point, what comes next. So I'm experiencing a lot of compression. I know Cynthia is, I know many people are, and it's a time of really intense internal reorganization and restructuring, and a lot of really serious internal growth, exponential growth. It's happening to us. We're finding that we're having a lot of memories of things that have happened in our lives at the moment. So it's almost like a, you know, a life review, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
So we're actually reviewing our lives, and it's all coming to the surface of moments of regret or moments of shame or moments of when we were behaving in ways that we're not very proud of. And we need to process that. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to not have regrets and understand that we've been role-playing with other people. And we can also, it's an opportunity for us to go through the process of releasing us and the other people from the co-created experience and the agreement that came along with it. So I feel it's a very, very important time in our lives right now. And the more we can make time for ourselves now and the lead up to the equinox, I think it's very, very important to be able to do that.
I agree. So it's the potential to integrate, right? I mean, that's the stuff that's coming up. It's about the accepting of it back into us as opposed to, you know, blame or denial or those kind of things. Right?
Absolutely,
that
it is.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, it's about no longer playing the blame game. It's about getting away from that. It's implementing what I call the five principles of closure. And so, you know, you go through a process of acknowledgement and gratitude and reconciliation and then embrace and then release. So they're the five principles. And of course, there's a lot of detail in each one of those. But it really is, and we can go through that process, those steps, and you can apply that to any person, any situation, any circumstance. And any entity, any alien, any being, doesn't matter. This is universal law, L-O-R-E, and it's applicable, and it's true closure. You truly do get released when you go through these steps and through this process. It's amazing. And while it looks like it's a compartmentalized process, you actually end up going, once you've done it a few times, you just go through it real fast. You don't need to go up step by step. It just all happens in a flowing motion.
Right on. I definitely don't, quote unquote, suffer through my triggers as I did years ago. I mean, you know, and it's not to say that I don't feel them to the depth. I think what it is suffering comes when you really don't know why you're going through it. But if you know why you're going through it, you know, there's a take a deep breath, you know, allow it to happen, because I know it's a piece of me coming back home. You know, it's essentially bringing wholeness to me, which just gets me that much closer to the ascension and, you know, being complete down here. Okay, so again, you know, I'm a little kooky, so these questions might be a little, you know, coming from different angles, and we might come back to this topic later on. As I'm just going to read them as I wrote them, because I've been listening to your other interviews, and you know, I find it fascinating the way there are, depending on who's interviewing you, you're so brilliant in the way, you know, you really do give information based on a level of awareness and, you know, what they're interested in hearing. But last week sometime, I heard you share on one of the shows the archetypes about the savior and the hero. And,
yeah,
you know, my antenna went, you know, ding, 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 ding. You need to write that down. I want to talk about that on the show. Because I think these are incredibly powerful, distinct archetypes that my audience will really benefit from hearing. So,
Well, the hero archetype is what we all need to be exercising right now. It's what we all need to be becoming. We all need to acknowledge that we are heroes, every single one of us. The courage that it's taken to incarnate, that it's taken to embark on the road to compression, even in prior to this incarnation on Earth, but to be here right at the end of the cycle. This is enormous courage. It is the most courageous thing anyone in the universe. So I feel it's time for acknowledgement. And we do need to give ourselves a big pat on the back and acknowledge that we are incredibly powerful, incredibly strong, and incredibly brave. And what does it mean to, you know, what are the characteristics of the hero archetype? Because a lot of people are blurring the lines between the hero archetype and the savior archetype, and that's kind of like a bit of an agenda out there to disempower us. You see, the savior archetype is about disempowerment, and the hero archetype is about empowerment and proactive, I would say, intentions and actions. So the blurring of the lines in the form of mixing the hero archetype with the savior archetype, you know, we're not here to save anyone. We're actually here to do what we need to do to make this a better place. So let's just make this distinction quite clear. And once we do start embarking on our fundamental purpose in life, meaning that, you know, we've all been sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and lovers and partners and friends and cousins and nephews and nieces and aunties and uncles and bosses and employees and what have you. There's all that sort of karmic, obligationary sort of roles that we've been playing, but underlying all of that is a bigger one. And that is our karmic obligation to our humanity, to our Mother Earth, to our Father Son, to our Galactic Mother, and to the universal intentions or the divine plan. So what are those karmic obligations that we have? So that is what brings into an understanding of our fundamental purpose in life. What is this purpose that we all feel that we have, which supersedes or is beneath all these other karmic roles and obligations that we've been playing. And that is what I consider the majestic phase of our lives, that we move into this fundamental purpose and start functioning from this authentic self and start functioning from that place of awareness of the relationship that we have with our mother planet. It is, use that as the platform, the knowledge, the awareness, the understanding of the relationship that each one of us has with our mother planet, that each one of us has with our humanity, because we're entering a very, very critical time coming up soon now. This equinox is a turning point. And this is where, you know, there's a, I can go off on a lot of different avenues or pathways with this. You know, we're not only in a juncture in time, but we're a juncture in this conversation. So we can take it in many directions, and there will be some that I'll want to cover and to do with, you know, the, what the equinox has in relation to the divine feminine or woman on the planet, and every man that is in touch with his feminine side within, what does it mean for that? So it touches everyone very deeply. But we've also got this energy that we need to work through as a humanity. You see, we've got our individual issues that we are confronted with. So when I have an issue that I need to deal with, do I take a pill and suppress it and think that the pill's going to make it better? When we know that doesn't really work in the long run, because that's a form of denial and suppression, and we give our power over to the pill because we want the pill to do it for us. And we can utilize the same principles on a cosmic level and take the cosmic pill, which is using light energy to blast our issue with, and thinking that that energy is going to transmute it and do it for us, and the energy from an ascended master or an angel or a god entity or whatever, and that energy is going to do it for us. That's just pill taking on a cosmic level. So the principles are the same. It's giving your power over to something that's innately outside of yourself that's going to fix your problems for you. So as a humanity, how are we going to approach these issues that we've got coming up? So we need to understand the concept of addressing an issue personally and then addressing an issue collectively, because we have all chosen to partake in this synthetic universe. And the proof of that is that you are incarnate on Earth now, listening to this. You're here on the planet. That's all the proof you need that you chose right. to be a part of and indulge in and participate and explore and experience the synthetic universe, because that's the energy that's overlaid over the natural order of things on Earth. So is you can continue to run away from that and live in denial of that and go into this spiritual elitism to say that, no, you would never have chosen such a thing and that's just silly to think that and all that sort of behavior, all those sort of thought processes. You're welcome to do that if you like. I don't aspire to that. I aspire to be more grounded and more realistic about life, and know that if I'm here and I'm inside an environment which has all these energies going on, then I've chosen this and I'm responsible for my life here, and I'm responsible for my obligations that I have as a soul to this reality and to all the beings involved in it. So I am having an awareness of the synthetic light and the synthetic dark needs to be it's coming to the surface in an aware state in a lot of people. So as we deal with our situations or issues personally, humanity as a whole has issues that it needs to work through. So we need to work through this synthetic dark and the synthetic light business from the synthetic universe and the God entity that created it. Because at the moment, there's been a lot of maneuvering behind the scenes of the chess pieces, and the evidence is clear now for so many to see, especially of what's been revealed in the last few months. So if anybody thinks there's nothing going on, they might want to rethink their assessment of the situation on planet Earth, because there are new financial systems that are being implemented, there are new legal systems that are being implemented, and now the big daddy of them all, is new spiritual paradigms that are in, we are on the cusp or the verge of being, having been imposed upon us. And this is not far away, you know, and we need to start preparing and readying ourselves so we can approach this and deal with this. See, humanity has to deal with this fight between the synthetic dark and the synthetic light, this game, this arena, this paradigm, this idea and this program of these two opposing energies in conflict with one another, because that's the drama vortex humanity has been drawn into. So we need to prepare ourselves and we need to address these issues, because it's going to be in your face soon in the public arena, because like I said, the chess pieces have already been maneuvered and they're there for everyone to see, and hopefully you can see them because if you can't see them, you might want to open your eyes a bit and see them, because they're there.
right. Well, and if not, we'll help them see, right, George?
Yeah, exactly. I shot a video blog yesterday, and I'm going to have that up on my website really soon. It goes for about 30 minutes, a bit more, 34 minutes. And it goes into all this stuff in great detail. Well,
awesome.
A lot more detail than what I've just explained now, so people can get a better understanding of it. This synthetic light and synthetic dark business is a big issue for humanity. We have allowed it to come here and do this to us, and now we need to take responsibility for it. We need to address the issue and not run away from it and not be drawn into it and, you know, in a disempowered way. You know, if you're going to participate in, you know, this circumstance, then make sure you do it in an empowered way where you hold your integrity, you can see what's going on around you, you're aware of who's who and what's what, and you go about doing what you need to do, regardless of all the drama vortexes going on around you that want to lure you into them.
Right on.
Yeah, very helpful.
Yeah, because, you know, I was just mentioning on the show that me and Janine do on Mondays. I'm just going to throw this out to you. I'm curious what your feel is about this, but my sense is that you're gonna say, okay, I'm on the line. I get the sense that, you know, when we came into this, you know, we came into this universe and we projected, you know, parts of us down through the dimensions. And as we were doing that, you know, the feeling I got is that, you know, we were kind of going hog wild. You know, we were creating our little asses off, you know, because here we were, we had no karma. You know, we were just like, you know, we're in these dimensions. And you know, in the meantime, the metaphor I was using, it's like our creations were like building parking lots in paradise. And we didn't really get that when we built the parking lot, you know, the insects and the animals and the minerals that we disturbed in those experiences, as we are coming out of these dimensions, well, now it's time for us to feel the creation when we were going hog wild from the perspective of what they felt when we were coming in, doing all this, you know, stepping on toes and pushing people aside and, you know, kicking kingdoms' asses and making, you know, and I'm not just talking, you know, animals and insects, I'm people and, you know, races and, you know, everything, because the naivety is, we, you know, I see kids when, you know, put a kid in a playground they've never been at. They try this and they try that and they jump on this and, you know, they push me, get out of my way, I'm going down the slide. And, I mean, why would we be any different, right? And so
that's a really, really good analogy.
Okay, so you're feeling that right, because so now what we're feeling in order, because the timing is that our souls are going, okay, we're completing these dimensions. Now you got to know what those kingdoms felt, because that's part of the creation. You can't ignore that part, but
exactly.
You can't leave until you integrate that part. So
that's
where you. Okay, right on. I knew it.
Exactly.
And you know who told me that?
You nailed it. And the analogy
Mother
that you
Earth
use
told me that.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, cool. And one other thing that I think is, because, you know, somebody actually emailed me, George, and goes, George is always talking about, you know, his higher self and his connection, but he doesn't share how for us other people to get to it. I mean, and I'm telling you, George, my jaw hit the desk, and I went, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, I was like, should I list the 75 hours worth of videos and interviews where George talks about how to connect with your higher self?
Yeah, because people have been programmed and conditioned to, you know, they get a set of instructions, like on a computer, and you do them, and it happens instantly. So it's instant gratification. And people don't realize the amount of inner work it takes to achieve what we're talking about. So they don't want to go there. They just want to actually just know how to do it. They do it, and it happens instantly. That's pretty much where a lot of this impatience and frustration comes through from people. It's the conditioning of instant gratification through the systems that are in our societies and the way we've been conditioned and programmed to function.
Right on. Right on. You said that beautifully. Because one of the things that I want to share, too, and I want you to share your perspective, you know, the name of our show, the other show that I do, is the Mystical Mother Earth Show, because it hit me so profoundly as I was trying to, whenever I focus on our shows, I want to, you know, I want the questions to be universal, and I want them to be juicy and delicious, and it totally hit me, George, that, you know, the reason why people need, from my perspective, and then I want you to give your perspective, the reason why people really do need to have an intimate relationship with the earth, the sky, and the galaxy, and again, I definitely want your perspective, but because the organic is alive, and what I'm realizing is, as I entrain my frequency with Mother Earth, I am now having the perception of what is death, what is not life-enhancing, what is... I know the Matrix simply because it doesn't resonate in that alive energy that I get from Mother Earth. It resonates exactly the opposite.
Yeah, and if so, I can use an analogy, it's like, you know, you've got this spaceship, right? You come across a spaceship and you're looking at it and you think it's a bit of a tin can or something, and then you come to realize one day that the spaceship is actually a sentient being and has, it thinks for itself and it understands you and you communicate with it, and you're going, oh my goodness, this thing is alive, and we can actually communicate with this thing, and it's you know, and it's interacting, and it's conscious, and it's thinking, and it understands things and all that. Well, what if you were to take that idea and that notion and apply it to the sky, or apply it to the planet or a mountain or a tree, and understand that everything is sentient and alive, and you can interact with it? It's the same principle, but people don't seem to think about things like that. They seem to think that it's just sky, earth is earth, and they hear stories about it being a sentient being, but oh, I try to communicate with it, but I can't really, so I think these people are just off on a bit of a fantasy tangent. But, you know, but the reality is the planet is sentient, it is living, breathing being, you can communicate with it, so you can with the sky, so you can with trees, so you can with rocks, so you can with everything that exists. Because everything is consciousness. Everything is intended into its manifested state. So someone has intended, or something has intended that expression. That's why it exists. Nothing can exist without the idea or the intended manifestation to begin with. Mm. So we need to realize that everything is interactive. Everything. Mm.
That's deep. Right. And there's a harmony, right? The harmony of being, like, because I really love the way Kelly Lachey said it about the Trinity being the sun, the earth, and us. I mean, like,
yeah.
That, because if we're going to go through a paradigm shift, you know, where are my allies? Show me my allies, and I'm happy to acquaint myself with them, and then if I like them, I'm happy to fall in love. You know, like, you know, I'm supportive. What do you need me to do? How can I help you? How can you help me? You know, just
And it's so funny when, you know, you watch the people who are all in their heads, you know, like you said, everything's about instant gratification, or they're looking online, you know, they want to pay somebody to do a DNA activation. And, you know, it's like there are no shortcuts. You know, the way through this is becoming whole. And we're becoming whole, like I said, by taking pieces back from ourselves that, you know, are going to be a little challenging because we came in hog wild.
Look, any type of, any form of shortcut through the use of any technology or anything like that is just going to recycle people back into the great arena. They're not going to break mm-hmm. through that void. There's only one way out, and that's to authentically go within yourself and take responsibility for all your creations. That's the only way, because there is no other way. And I'm absolutely adamant about that. Absolutely, 100% adamant about that. It's a total knowing. And any other way is a shortcut. So you either do be authentic and genuine and real about this, or you'll just have your cosmic ego come into play and continue to look for shortcuts and easy ways, or continue to want to lure you back into the great arena or the universal matrix, because that's where it resides and it wants to continue to have fun. It wants to continue to be in control. So we've got to get past that level of ego, which so many people seem to not be able to identify with, because they're so busy just thinking that only our earthly personality is the ego and the rest of us is not. But no, we have much higher aspects of ourselves in the great arena of the universe that is an ego-based system and an expression. I mean, you know, even God entities have egos, otherwise they would not solicit worship. It's self-explanatory, really. You know, to think that we're the only ones that have egos is ridiculous. It's absurd. And it's denial. ETs have egos. Interdimensional beings have egos. God entities have egos. Please come to grips with reality, people, and start realizing this about yourself. So the only way to transcend all of these frameworks of modus of operandi, of all these different ways of functioning, and getting back to this just this organic, natural, genuine connection to life and this energy of love, which is just so pure, is the only pathway through your heart in the inward journey, the ascension, rather than the ascension, is really the only path.
Yeah, that's a distinction I'm just now, you know, Kelly Luchet actually helped me really, I realizing that the ascension is the fourth dimensional paradigm and the incension is the organic timeline. You know, it's funny how the energies, me and Janine talk all the time, and we say how the energies are just getting finer and finer, you know, like where you can't mix, you know, in other words, the separation between the deceptive, artificial ascension and the organic incension. And so that is you know, I have a question about, because it's so funny, you've covered a lot of things I've said. A lot of the questions I've written. I was hoping that maybe you could share the importance. Well, first let me ask you this question. Me and Janine were wondering this. Okay, in this universe, I know that virtues carry significance, not just in the third dimension, but clearly in the fourth, and I get even the lack of the virtues in the first and second, because that was part of the nature of those dimensions, is to, you know, really just, you know, be as separated as we possibly could get. So if you could address this question in two parts. One, how important are the virtues as a, I don't want to say protective measure, but in the sense that when we're in our virtues, I sense it from my own experiences that there's a knowing and I'm going to say it. It feels to me like there's an untouchability from like the deceiving fourth dimensional entities. And if you could expand on that. And the second part of the question, and I can remind you this if you don't remember it, is do virtues play a part in other universes? Like, is that a universal, omniversal expression, or is that just in this universe of light that they play a part?
Well, okay, the virtues are important because, you know, what are we looking at there? We're looking at the worth and the value of an experience. So we're really, it's like cultivating wisdom. And we also look at what is most important in this universe is the virtues, or the virtue of the agreements that we have in place. We need to understand the worth and the value and the qualities of the agreements that we have in place with others in our co-created experience. So virtues are very, very important because it all ties into everything I've just explained. It ties into wisdom, it ties into acknowledgement, respect, gratitude. Virtues are very, very important. And yes, the concept of virtues, not exactly how we interpret them right here, right now in this reality, but, you know, there'll be other interpretations and broader interpretations and understandings of what it means to be virtuous, or gathering the virtues or acknowledging virtues in other universes. The concept will probably be the same, I would say.
Okay.
I can't see how it wouldn't, because it comes down to experience and co-created experience. So whether it's in this universe whose function is light, or whether it's in another universe, in another construct, you know, it would probably morphed into a different, slightly different modus of operandi, but the principle, I guess, would be the same. I feel would be the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that as well. I wasn't sure if you actually had any experience where, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I mean, you've gone a little farther than I have consciously, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, I got to see outside this universe and get a feel for it, but I didn't get to go inside any other universe in another construct, so
okay.
This part of
okay.
me is still immersed in light, and I can't access anything beyond that.
Okay.
That makes
okay.
sense. Yeah.
Totally
I can only access or remember what it felt like to connect with my infinite and eternal essence and the memory of seeing other universes, but the detail of what's within those universes I don't have access to.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate your honesty, as always. I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to mix it up a little because I can feel people going, all right, Goldie, ask some other question. You know, they all love the drama questions, so...
I also want to make that comment in relation to the equinox and the feminine. This is a really, really important...
Oh, please. Okay.
This affects everyone. Everyone. Absolutely okay. everybody. But especially women. And the equinox, what it marks is the ending of the cycle, but it also marks the end of the sacrifice of the feminine, of the mm-hmm. Christ of fear, Christ in the feminine. So it marks the ending of woman being held in... bonds of chains and shackles and the honoring and the virtue of the agreement that the feminine had made, and the relationship of that agreement of the collective group soul consciousness of humanity, and the relationship that humanity has with its mother planet. You know, this is all very, very big but very important concepts to begin to contemplate. And this is the freedom and the liberation of the feminine. This is a massive moment. It's a monumentous moment in time. And I hope people can begin to grasp how huge this is, because, like I said in this video blog, you know, December 21, 2012 was big, but mostly it was a decoy. You know, because people because of the lack of activity in the public arena, people became very disillusioned and disappointed, and they're heartbroken, and that program worked beautifully. It was a decoy that was created just fantastically, and, you know, because the majority of people didn't get into the natural biorhythms of life. They were too busy focusing on the drama and waiting for something big to happen. And I somewhat was a party to that too. I contributed to that to a degree. And It was an absolutely wonderful decoy for a lot of people, because now their will is broken, and they're not interested in wanting to know about the ending of a cycle now. They don't have any interest in it at all. They'll think it's just rubbish. They're completely deflated. And, you know, when we look at what's going on with the papal conclave, this is huge. The connection is enormous. And the reason the papal conclave is happening now is because they're using the true ending of the cycle, the energies involved with that, for their agenda. And
exactly.
They've got a clear path, because not many people are getting involved in the true ending of the cycle, because they broke everybody's will, everyone's interest in that subject. No one wants to know anymore. And so this is a really, really, really important thing to understand as well. It's massive. The people can
it is massive. It is. And, you know, so funny. First of all, you we're so in sync, George. I love it, because I actually wrote here, have him talk about the artificial shift on the 21st, because the powers that be, did they purposely misdirect us to confuse us for March 21st, which you did. I also wrote down, talk about the Pope resigning. and another thing, if you could share, is I want you to share how where's the questions? Where's my question?
Well, hang on, they're really big questions, and I've somewhat answered them, but just understand the
magnitude. Go deeper if you want. Go deeper.
Like, sometimes I get emails and people ask me a series of about 5 questions, and each question is like a massive essay, you know, and pages
right.
and pages to be answered. And, you know, it's like, hang on, you know, people don't realize the magnitude of the questions they're asking, you know, like, just hold your horses, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, the Pope resigning and the papal conclave now at this time. Well, let's preface that conversation with December 21, 2012. The false light energy was used against everyone, and also to empower the agenda, because, you know, the reason everyone's will was broken too was the false energies were used to create that feeling, to amplify those emotions in people as well. So it was used to get, you know, as much as people bought this energy in, a lot of people, the energy was even used against themselves or against their own kind. And it was a very sad situation. I could feel it going on, and I felt very sad at the time. But at the same time, I decided to make a conscious decision and work with the natural biorhythms of the solstice. So I had a lot of profound changes and internal growth take place. So for me, I had a wonderful time, even though I could feel a sense of sadness of what the other energies were up to. Since that has happened, there's been too many people now that just don't want to know about the real ending of the cycle. That's just been squashed and quashed and, you know, swept under the carpet. And like I said, it's freed up the energies now, because not many of us are engaging in these energies. So they've got kind of like a clear path to work with the current energies and implement their agendas with very little resistance. Because there's not so many of us that are utilizing the natural biorhythm. They've got free access to it, and there's bugger all resistance to them doing what they want to do. Mm. So we need to understand how important this conclave, papal conclave, is too, from the point of view of, throughout eras of time, there's been an ambassadorial office for this God entity on the planet. It's been in India in ancient times. It's been in Egypt in other times, in other eras. It's been in the Americas in other times. It's been in different parts of the world through different epochs and eras of time. And through this recent era of time, it's been Rome. Rome and the Vatican have been the ambassadorial office for this God entity. And just because it has a Christian facade on it, you've got to realize that behind the scenes, it runs the planet. That's the office that runs the planet for this God entity. You know, if when you're born, your birth certificate gets registered with the Vatican. When you create a company, every company in the planet that gets created gets registered with the Vatican. They create the spiritual framework through every religion on the planet, which then is the external framework for two other frameworks, and the other one being the financial systems on the planet, the economic collective that enslaves humanity, and the other one is the framework of laws, LAW laws. So they're the three main frameworks that control our societies, all of them, no matter what culture you come from, it's the same frameworks in every culture. You worship a god, you have your religious and spiritual ideology, you have your economic collectives, and you have your laws that govern your society. See? So it's the same frameworks for everyone on the planet, no matter where you live, no matter what race you are, what culture you've grown up in, you're functioning within those frameworks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but I mean, it's my understanding that at this time, and I've definitely gotten this with the assistance of you, George, the artificial is serving the organic.
This will seem like doom and gloom. It will seem like I'm just preaching doom and gloom, and there's a very, very serious side to this whole drama, but don't forget that's exactly what it is. It's a drama. It's a drama vortex, and it's an energy that we need to work through, because when we get to the other side of this drama, there's some pretty amazing things that await, and it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, we're just making commentary on the significance of what's happening right now and who's using the energies. You know, and they're taking very good advantage of that, because they're looking at implementing new frameworks, new spiritual framework, a new economic framework, and a new framework of law. And the evidence for those is all around us. And we can see that there's, you know, recent talk of new law framework being introduced. We can see that there's new economic frameworks that have already been introduced. I mean, you don't have to become some conspiratorial theorist to think up some crazy notion that we are, you know, that we're on the verge of a new economic system. I mean, you're already
using
an electronic financial system. You're using a virtual financial system already. It's your bank uses it. Your credit card, every time you make a purchase, the machines in the supermarkets, everywhere. It's a virtual financial system. PayPal. There's a global financial system that could be easily implemented as the global financial system using a credit-based system, which is what it's already functioning with, a virtual monetary system. So we've already got that in place. That's you know, you don't have to be Einstein to work that one out. It's there in your face, right?
Yeah.
So we have this new financial system that just hasn't become official in the public facade or the public arena yet, but it's already in place. And then when we have these new legal systems that are now being, you know, brought to the public awareness. And then there's the last one, the big one of them all, is the new religious system, the new spiritual system, because the commentary from leaders of the Vatican system, and these are public comments that have been made, that they are getting ready to introduce us to their space brothers and sisters. Now,
absolutely.
I said their space brothers and sisters. These are ET groups that they are in contact with. And commentary coming from the Vatican, such as, and if people choose not to believe in our space brothers and sisters, then that is tantamount to heresy. You know?
Wow.
You've got to realize they're getting ready to make a new papal decree. And that's coming up in the next, you know, whenever. It's going to be a few years
don't
away.
Don't make predictions. They'll only beat you up for them. It's coming. Period. Period. I don't want you to get into it. I said, don't make predictions. You don't need to. It's coming. When it gets here. No, but I did hear the Pope say, I mean, I did read somewhere that the Pope said that for the first time ever, it's not against God to believe in aliens. And I swear to God, George, the
really?
First thing,
wow.
Yeah, and the first thing that went through my head was, holy shit, they're like advertising that they're gonna, you know, that the ships are coming. That's what they're telling. That's what they want their Catholic people to be okay with. That's why they're now making it okay. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, it's like, if you look at the people that are controlling the spiritual framework on the planet, that, you know, that's why I don't feel that disclosure will come from a U.S. government or the U.S. military or some form of government like that. I think it has to have a religious backing, a religious background, a spiritual background, because some of their comments are that these beings are closer to God than what we are. Okay?
Oh.
So this is commentary that is coming out from high-ranking members of the Vatican. So we gotta, you got to realize that they're going to want to assimilate this into their framework, that they have to be brought into alignment, that disclosure of extraterrestrials have to be brought into alignment with their spiritual framework, okay, with their belief systems, because it is what is going to, you know, it's the underlying thing, the spirit, what people's spirituality is the deepest framework of all. It goes deeper than monetary framework or law framework. You know, spiritual framework is the big daddy of them all, really.
Right.
And
right.
That is why this is so important. This new pope, the reason it's happening now, at the end of the cycle, the commentary that's coming out, and you know, there's plenty of information out there for people to have a look at it if they want to. We're not making this stuff up. This truly is going on, and we better start becoming aware of it and start learning how to deal with this when it does arise. Because, you know, we're in for a bit of a challenging time, and I relish the challenge. I'm getting excited that this is happening.
Me too.
I'm not feeling dreary or concerned, or, you know, okay, there's a level of concern that I have, but it's only that part of me that's caught up in the drama. You know, the rest of me is just so excited that finally, you know, we're starting to see the evidence of action, of activity,
yeah,
in the public domain.
Yeah.
And part of it is because we're waking up more. So the activity's always been there, but we hadn't had the ability to recognize it. But now we do. And so when we can look at these sorts of, you know, evidence that is before us, the commentaries, the financial systems, the legal systems, really you can come to a conclusion that major chess pieces behind the scenes have been maneuvered. And it's all, you know, the majority of the human herd that's in the trance is not taking notice. But we can take notice, mm-hmm, and we can start preparing ourselves for what's coming.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great segue, because I heard you share this on another show, and I just know that I don't think my people were listening to that show, and I definitely feel it's worth sharing. If you could share how they're going to utilize peace, love, and light as the deception, I think it's important for people at least to have a seed of that into their awareness, because I can already feel it that, you know, I'm going to once again be part of the small group of people that is going to go, no, you don't want to go to that healing chamber, you know, you're going to screw yourself going to that. You're going to get an implant, and, you know, in other words, and they're going to go, or as the aliens come down and they're going to start healing our planet and making her green again, and then go, okay, you know, come on the ships with us, and, you know, so we can show you guys how to do this. And I'm going, no. And my, you know, I can imagine people around me going, well, what do you mean? They're helping us. Why aren't you going? You know, you know, you don't want the planet healed? And it's like, you're going to say that to me. You know, I'm just already picturing these conversations taking place. So in your wisdom, George, if you could share how they're going to, you know, like, it's like, you know, it's really the basic, they make the problem so they can throw in the solution. But to be, you know, truly understand that it's a deceptive, you know, it is the artificial light, and it is not the true solution, because, you know, in the fifth dimension, we don't need healers. but do you know what I'm referencing when I share that?
Yeah, I do. And we, you know, again, it's that old problem, reaction, solution. So what's happening with the Vatican at the moment is going to create a global problem in the near future. And people will want that to come to an end, and there'll be another solution that is coming after that. So what the systems that are being put into place now, these ones that are coming in the very near future, that to me is actually the next phase of the problem that's being created. And what follows, what's coming behind that, is the solution to that problem. And that one, the one that's coming in behind, is the one that if I have concerns, I'm concerned about. because that is a far more passive aggressive system. That is the one that is truly all about love and light, and I feel that that is the intended new world order, not this one that's coming up soon through the Vatican and its, you know, papal decree and all that business with this first group of aliens. I don't think that this is the you know, the main thing that we're to be concerned about. That's more the synthetic. Yes, it's a synthetic dark versus a synthetic light, but overall, to me, this is going to be the synthetic dark energy, and the synthetic light is coming in behind this drama that's about to, you know, play itself out in the next year or two. So I would say hold on to your hats, because we're in for a really, really fantastic ride. Like, it's the greatest fun ride, you know, in the universe, and we've got front row seats. So.
Right on. So, you know what I just got a hit as you were talking? It almost feels like, you know, what's coming up next is really about the elimination of the elite. That it seems like, you know, this whole pretend warring kind of thing, and, you know, in other words, the artificial dark is about getting the people out that truly believed 85% of the population was going to get wiped out, and they were going to be, you know, skipping my Lou, my darling. And of course, we know that's not happening, because they're not killing off, you know, three quarters of their herd. But the people that were planted for that experience, you know, I would imagine from the alien agenda point of view, you know, they're going to be like, you're getting in our way now. We need to get rid of you. However that works. Yeah.
And that's what's happening. I mean, I've always said, you know, it's really factional. They're really, really factional in their in these, you know, hierarchical sort of authoritarian structures, and they do go to war against one another quite on a regular basis. And unfortunately, a lot of people get caught up in these battles. They don't realise what these battles are actually about. It's like people thought going into Iraq was about oil, and it's not. It never was. You know, that was just a side story. It was always about, you know, like, what was the first thing the military did when they went into Iraq? What was the very first thing they did? They went straight for the museum. You know, and I remember sitting there watching it happen. I'm going, why are they so interested in hitting that first? That was their prime. That was the number one target. Everything else came afterwards. And it was everything else that was the storyline that was fed through the media. But when I saw them raiding the museum, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was amazing how the energetic charge I got from viewing that was, I know now why they went into Iraq, because something was afoot with ancient knowledge and ancient technology, and someone got very, very scared that this was taking place, and to go in there and put Saddam in his place, because he was coming across some very serious you know, knowledge, information, artifacts, and ancient technology and ancient power. So it's always been about spirituality. It's always been about religion. It's always been about religious dogma, and it's always been about controlling who's going to have the power to control humanity, who's going to have dominion over our humanity.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And I feel it's the same thing going on now. It's all about the spiritual concepts. That is the largest framework. It is the deepest framework that they control humanity through. So don't underestimate the importance of this papal conclave right now at the end of the cycle, because as the new era begins, they want to control it. They want to take total control. They are wanting to apprehend our birthing process. That's what it's really all about.
Well, and can you share with us from your perspective, because that is one of my questions. So where are we? Is the compression the birth canal?
Yeah, the compression is the birth canal. And, you know, it's not comfortable if you can try and remember back when you were being born and being squeezed through that birth canal. You know, it's a fractal. It's a metaphor. It's more than a metaphor. It's a metaphor, and it isn't a metaphor. It's part of its reality. And it's an analogy, and it's a fractal, and it's, you know, understanding the birthing process through the mother. It, you do get back and squeeze through zero point. We need to integrate all of our creations, and we need to confront this issue of synthetic dark and synthetic light. It's going to play out for us in the public arena for all of us to experience and work through. There's no running away from this. You can try and live in denial of it if you like, but it's upon us. And so how are you preparing yourself to cope with the activities, the dramas, and the experiences that are ensuing and are about to go to a whole new level in the near future? So this is what I want to do. I'm trying to put this information out in order to prepare my humanity as best I can. This is the role that I am playing. And it's, you know, our humanity needs to be informed and prepared and ready as best that we can, so we don't, you know, don't get fooled again as the Who so magnificently sing. You know,
right,
is the new boss just the same as the old boss? You know, it's going to be, everything will be repackaged and readdressed, and, you know, the Vatican are looking at rebirthing the Christ into a modern era, their version of the Christ. So it's like Jesus needs to be reborn, needs to be resurrected. And they need a new version of worship, basically, a more sophisticated version of worship. And they're in the process of making that happen. Whether you want it or not, it's coming.
Well, right. They're changing the rules, you know, by saying, well, now aliens are okay. God says alien is okay. You know, you're a good Catholic if you believe in aliens. I mean, they're you can see it. They are doing it, you know, right in front of us. And, you know, and I do want to speak about something, and I know Janine's jaw is probably going to hit the desk when I ask you about this. You had mentioned something in one of the shows about Jesus Christ, that, and it totally struck me. You know, everything you say just really just goes straight into me, and I'm like, oh, wow, exactly. Okay, so Jesus Christ is a name that, again, it was simply to divert our attention to what I would call the character the Rome wanted us to, like, you know, funnel our energies into, and that wasn't even the character's name that actually lived in those, not character, that wasn't the actual human being who was the Son, S-U-N, of God, of the Son of, in the sky, you know, the fractal of the Sun, and that when his name is spoken, you know, it would be a true trigger, because the cellular memory of people would remember that, and that intrigued me, because I you have been a significant trigger for me, in that I don't remember per se. I've had one, you know, time where I've been on a spaceship that I remember, but I can feel I've had other experiences. I it's like I can feel them from a peripheral. You know, my fears show me that I've been in contact with fourth dimensional beings and aliens because of my fears. So my question is, and I know this, like, it sounds a little kooky, but I figured I'd ask anyways. Do you know the name of the Son when he was a fractal
human
being?
No, I don't. I have no idea. And I don't know who's going to release it, or when, or where, or how. Like, it could be a decoy
right.
name as well, because I've, you know, voiced the idea, so someone might just come up with a name and say, oh, look, this is the real name. But we will just know in our hearts. We will know.
There's
everyone who was there is here now. And people, you know, also there's the cellular memory as well, the genetic memory. And this is how they function. They just... You know, that name they wanted dead, buried, quashed, never to be spoken of again, no one to ever remember it, because it, you know, it works against them if it is remembered. And so they needed to, you know, because Jesus comes from Jesus, which is Zeus, you know, it's the, it's
right,
the
Jesus
cult,
and
the
Zeus
cult
are the same.
And the cult Zeus. It's
right.
Repackaging Zeus, you know, so you get the father of the ultimate being worshipped, and then they repackaged Zeus to be more, you know, approachable and more easily praised, and let's, oh, come, let us adore him. you know, and all this, you know, because it needs adoration and all this sort of stuff. And so the true Christ, I don't resonate with the name Jesus because it's Zeus, and I don't resonate with that. I know it's the priestly caste, and you know, the Christ was in opposition to the priestly caste, you know, and I don't resonate with the name Jesus. We don't, you know, everyone's being conned. I mean, think about it. It was the priestly caste who crucified the Christ. Who's given us the name Jesus? The priestly caste has. Who's given us the Bible? The priestly caste has. You know, that's the same group. So why would you want to be worshipping or praising or aligning yourself with a deity that is handed to us by the priestly caste, which is the very same group that crucified the Christ to begin with? You know, why aren't people asking those questions? Why hasn't anyone just gone, oh, wow, never thought of that. It's like, hello.
Yeah, no, it's so brilliant. Those are brilliant shares. And I have gone, oh. Because you know who I feel? I feel if anybody's going to say the name of that being, I would imagine it would be that being himself or herself. But that soul, or, you know, I guess that would be the creator, right? That's essentially, that's one of the fractal creator beings of this universe, correct?
Yeah, but that's what we all are. So it's not going to be like, I still get the feeling it's just going to be an ordinary person, and I get the feeling that that being will not claim anything like that either. It'll just be known by people in their own heart. They will know who it is automatically, not because they get told who it is. They will just automatically know who it is, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Of course, of course. Well, and it's funny because I know the artificial of what you just said is the whole Maitreya and the Benjamin Krem work.
Well, that's one. I mean, there's a whole bunch of what about the Moonies? What about, you know, there's all sorts of people claiming to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. You know, it's everywhere. It's all over the planet.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're going to get cosmic beings coming down that are going to be claiming that as well, and do lots of magic tricks and fantastic marketing campaigns, really elaborate marketing campaigns, because, you know, and there's going to be ones who are going to play that most humble of servant that they possibly can, but it's all about fitting into the image, and because remember, everyone's being programmed to receive, you know, so we're expecting to receive certain parameters of and ideologies of what this figure must be like and what it must do and what its appearance will be like and what if it's none of that? How are people going to be able to identify, you know, this being, not only in the masculine, but what about the feminine, who's a more significant character than our, you know, current running commentary on the masculine expression of that consciousness? So people will know in their heart. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Christ in the feminine was far more significant of the time. I think Mary Magdalene just blew the doors off the priesthood. That's what I reckon. I reckon she absolutely demolished them. And as far as I'm concerned, the Christ in the feminine, because she was a walking incarnation of the planetary body herself, she's the one that really wielded the power, like, seriously. And that's how I see it. It's just George's perspective, you know, the world according to George.
Well, you know what's so funny, though? I don't know, I mean, because I know you don't, you know, get a chance to listen to a lot of other people per se, but, you know, there are a lot of people say right now, and it makes me laugh, they're like, well, this is my truth. It's like they're so afraid, like I'll have conversations with somebody, you know, like, say, I'll be talking about the lore, you know, L-O-R-E, and they'll say to me, well, that's your truth, and I'll go, no, that's all truth. You don't have to believe it, but that's all truth. You know, it's like I can see how people are, they're literally afraid to own these truths. You know, it's like it's the world according to George, but there's a universal truth in what you share. You know, because it triggered me how so many people, in my humble opinion, hide in the subjective truth and go, oh, well, this is just my truth. And I'm telling you, me and Janine are on the air. We don't give a shit. It's like, you know what? This is the truth. I don't care if you bash me for it. I don't care. And I supported you with your dates because the truth is, George, I'm strong enough that if they're wrong, I still know they're right. They just didn't hit when they were supposed to happen. And I didn't care. I didn't care if people didn't like me or, you know, or whatever, you know, because for me, when I feel the truth, truly, I'll stand alone to say that is the truth. That and I'm fully on board with this. And I can lose family members, I can lose listeners, friends, Facebook people. I don't care. Because I have nothing else as a priority in my life than to get the truth out from my own experience. Because I truly do. I mean, I love Mother Earth, and I feel very much ready. That I want to do the creative experiencing. I want to do the harmony. I want to do the world in the fifth dimension. And
well, think of it like this too. You know, because we're in coming up to the birthing process, okay? And I said before that they're hijacking the birthing process. And, you know, I talk about this in my video blog too, but I want to share it here.
Oh, awesome.
Because you brought it up. It's a very, very important point. Let's put ourselves in their shoes for a moment. How do you remove a child from its mother during or soon after the birthing process? How do you do that? And do it in a way that the child will willingly want to leave its in the presence and the environment of its mother.
Mm.
How do you achieve that? Because this is the very key, I would say, challenge for these beings. This is the agenda. This is the formula that they need to come up with to implement their agenda, for their agenda to be successful, because we are birthing with our mother. So how are they going to get people to willingly go with them? And the way you get a child to willingly leave its mother, and the mother, mind you, has done nothing wrong. She's just always been there carrying the child, holding the space, you know, for the child. But because the consciously aware connection of the child to the mother has been severed, not the deeper connections, they will always be there, but just the consciously aware connection of the child to the mother has been gotten to and has been severed. So the child is now dependent on external influences. So it's being told from outside of the relationship it has with its mother that the mother is in the process of dying. And that if this child stays with the mother, that it's going to die too. That way, if you do that, then you can actually get the child to leave the presence and the immediate environment of its mother, because it will reach out to that hand of that external influence of where it's now getting its information from, because remember the consciously aware connection to the mother has been severed, so that seemingly helping hand reaching out to help the child, and the child will just turn around and go, okay, and embrace this helping hand which is coming to seemingly help the child and take it away from its supposedly dying mother.
Yeah, that is you know what, you just answered like a major question. That see, this is why the propaganda had to be, they had to create so much fear around death, because that's a big part of phase two, so to speak. And in, because, you know, I listened to Laura Eisenhower, and she talks about how they tried to get her to go to Mars. And,
yeah.
And she really shares this aspect beautifully, because she's like, listen, I'm staying with my mother. And it's like, I mean, George, that is such a brilliant insight, because I can totally, it's so juicy, because I'm like, You know what I love? Your insights remind me of me and Janine's insights, because they're Mother Earth guided. You know, we're getting our insights from the same source, Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's this very, it's a perspective that is what I call the razor's edge. Because once you see it, it's so brilliant. It's like, wow. And yet once I see it, it disempowers their ability to use it on me.
Right, but that's a new. I have not heard that before, George, and that's really.
No, nor have I.
That really took me, because I can see how that would be very effective and how that's actually being implemented now. And yeah, that's just an amazing insight on your part.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's not all.
Thank you. Thank you. I had not heard.
Sorry, yes. No, if I didn't sound grateful, I apologize. Thank you,
John. No, it's really. You know, I was looking forward to this conversation very much, and the whole compression, and I'm feeling it, but I'm seeing how organic the compression is and how it's facilitating my process, our process, to be realistic, to be grounded, to be ready, to work with that, to be, you know, I'm already so connected with Mother Earth and nature, but that example right there, I am a nurse, but I was a labor and delivery nurse for, you know, 7 years before I had my children and right after that. But that explanation is amazing, because it makes so much sense now that you pointed out.
Exactly.
That I felt like, whoa, that came out of this conversation I knew would be rich, but that's an amazing. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I want to thank my friend Jason too, because he helped me with that understanding as well. So we both worked together on that, and we came to this understanding, and the way he worded it one day was just magic. We both knew what we were trying to get at, but his wording was really good.
The whole perspective of how someone would see how
the helping hand. The helping hand.
Right. And the level of deception, but inaccuracy, but also how to trust the well-being of the mother, trust that, you know. So it really does. It's just really amazing. Thank you.
Well, you know, she's been, you know, her mouth is just strapped. She's been chained down with artificial ley lines, and you know, she's been silenced for a very, very long time. And you know, after, you know, even there's those of us who have been reconnecting with our mother, I feel that after the equinox, her call will start to be heard more and more. She will start to have a voice after this equinox, because remember, it's the turning point. It's the ending of her sacrifice. It's like contract honored, you know? I have fulfilled, from her perspective, she has fulfilled her end of the bargain. So now she is free to have a say, you know, universal law. So you know, there will be calls that will be put out by Mother Earth, and people will start to hear them more and more. It will happen. And, you know, she will start to have a voice. But there's those children who, you know, they're looking at their mum. She's chained down. She's shut up. She can't communicate with them on the level she would like to. The children can't communicate with the mother. And they're just left standing there at all the people that are standing around the mother saying, well, you got to come with us. Because, you know, it's no good to be near your mother. She's no good for you. She's dying, or whatever they're going to say. And come with us. We'll look after you.
Because, you know, and when I think about this, too, because that means actually then they wouldn't really come down then to start greening the planet, because that would show her coming back to life. So that you know.
I don't see that. I just still don't see that happening personally. There might be a short-term attempt at that sort of thing, at that notion, that idea.
Right.
But eventually, I still feel it's going to get to the point where Big Mama has to start shaking the dross off her body, just like we are metamorphosizing ourselves. She will have to as well. So how that's going to happen and how that's going to take place, I'm still feeling there's going to be some form of, you know, earth changes taking place eventually. But we'll just wait and see.
Right. Well, you had mentioned on one of your shows, I think it was with Henrik on Red Ice Radio, that you had insights about like numerical configurations or something having to do with this time?
Yeah, that was what I call the harmonic equations that I had a while back. Yeah, I still feel them. I took them off my website because I wanted to rewrite them in a clearer format, and it's something I never really got around to, so unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, there's two timelines that I've been feeling and understanding in the way of harmonic equations, and we're kind of like in this, you know, got the fixed timeline of 24,832 years, and then we have this other timeline which our minds have been assimilated into, is what I was calling the illusionary timeline. So there's the organic timeline and the illusionary timeline. And the illusionary timeline is the one that in early 1900s, when they were looking at the precessional cycle, they measured it at 24,800 years, no, 25,800 years. And then they did it a couple of decades later or a few decades later with computers, and they worked it out to be 25,920 years. And I think because they did it with computers, it was more accurate. But what they didn't realize was they were seeing an acceleration factor there, that things were speeding up. So the Earth was spinning on its axis faster, proportionally spinning around the Sun faster, and the whole solar system was speeding up. And that's why there was more rotation. So that's why the figure went from 25,800 years to 25,920 years. So there was an increase in rotations. So
right.
Time is speeding up, and we're all experiencing a speeding up of time. And so I was looking at all these harmonics to do with that, and my understanding of my memories from a life I had in Palenque and the harmonics we were using back then, and that's how I understood that the cycle ended on the equinox of March of 2013 and not the December solstice. So I was, you know, for years and years and years, I've been saying we've been out by one quarter annual cycle in our understandings, and that the real ending of the cycle is coming up now on the equinox, and we really are experiencing maximum compression now. There's a real change taking place in a lot of people, and again, look at what's going on in the public arena. I mean, the so-called representative of God on Earth is being reappointed at this time. And, you know, they're fulfilling. They want to fulfill their prophecies and make it happen. So there's a lot of maneuvering going on behind the scenes. So we really need to understand that there is there is harmonics involved in this, and there is energies involved in this, and there's people that understand these things, and they want to take full advantage of them. And, you know, we don't want to take advantage of them per se. What is important for us to do is work with them. So for us to get back into the natural biorhythms of life, the biorhythm of our relationship, because that's what harmonics is. Harmonics is relationship. So it's resonance. It's our relationship we're having with our mother planet, not only individually, but collectively. So our collective group soul human consciousness as a humanity, the relationship humanity is having with its mother planet, and the relationship our humanity is not only having with our planet, but with our star system, and the way it's, the star system's having that relation, its relationship with the galaxy. So it's all about relationships, and it's all about agreements and co-created experiences, and it goes into that perspective and that way of understanding life and that approach to life. And when we can enter into those sorts of approaches, then life changes dramatically for us. We really expand our awareness and understanding, because behind all the synthetic frameworks is the organic framework. So when we get back into the larger framework of organic life, then we can see everything that's going on inside of that. We can see the synthetics and all its agendas and all its frameworks and intentions and ideas and what it's worth. You can see what's going on.
Definitely. You know, Janine, doesn't that kind of, you want to share with George, you know, that what we were talking about on Monday? Because I bet you he'll have some insights, you know, onto that.
Was it what you had mentioned before, which it naturally just feels life-affirming, or what do you, because I'm not sure what you were...
How you felt yourself hurling through space?
Oh, yes. For some reason, I just had this image of, over this last couple weeks, where the compression does seem stronger, but I find myself, you know, not thinking about doing this, but I see us in our galaxy hurling through space at this velocity, and somehow I find that very comforting. Naturally, it soothes me, it calms me down, and, you know, I don't necessarily think that might be the image that would calm anyone down, but I find it to be comforting to me, and I can't really explain why. It's happened to me, you know, several times, enough to tell Goldie that, you know, I'm feeling the compression, you know, I get challenged, I'm working through stuff, and yet this image comes up, and I find it calming. And I, you know, so that's what I shared Monday night. Any commentary?
Yeah, because it has to do with, you know, the feeling of the journey, you know, and it's that part of you that you can sum it up in one word, like when you feel that feeling, you kind of go, yes.
Yes, yeah, and it calms and me, just, it comforts me.
Yeah.
And Goldie thought maybe it was my soul, the bigger picture, the soul knowing and just connecting with that, and, you know, which sounded pretty good, but...
but George, we want to know what you feel about that.
No, I resonate with what Goldie said. For me, it's like, you know, when you were talking about it, I found myself out there with you and feeling to a certain degree what you were feeling, and that's why I made that comment of just yes, and it's progress, it's movement, it's journey,
and it's natural,
really,
and it's it bypasses all that artificial and, you know, over all those programs and structures, and then you're in this. To me, I mean, but it's just something that's been coming to me. So thanks, and thanks for reminding me, Goldie. That was good.
Yeah, no, it just was the time to say it because he was talking about, you know, the outer, you know, the bigger picture, and, you know, I just love you guys. I love doing this. I love you guys. This is. I mean, because I'm right with you, George. I share all the time that if you look at challenge as a negative experience, the next whatever couple of months, couple of years is going to be real hell. You know, it's like, you know, I try to encourage people to look at challenge as something that, you know, can show a person, you know, because if you watch these movies like, you know, Lord of the Rings and The Matrix, you know, Neo was, you know, a hacker, and the guy was, you know, a scout or whatever, who ended up being king. You know, it's like we all have our lives, you know, that we were kind of playing in the Matrix, where, you know, I'm a nanny and Janine's an author and a therapist, and, you know, you owned a cafe at one point. You know, it's like I understand. You know, we had our time to be that, but as they so brilliantly, in my humble opinion, as they so brilliantly showed in Lord of the Rings, you know, that guy is the king. I don't remember names, but the main character for the Middle Earth, you know, he had to be able to accept the sword at one point to go into this dwelling where fourth dimensional beings were going to play a significant part in conquering the orc, you know, at one of the battles. And it feels to me that, you know, that's kind of humanity's plight, from the sense of who's ever destined to be on the organic timeline. You know, I would imagine, I'll speak for myself.
Yeah. We all need to embrace that interdimensional life, you know. We need to embrace, you know, there's a huge portion of interdimensional life in the, not only the synthetic dark, but the organic dark. that is waiting for us to come of age, and a level of wisdom and compassion and empathy and understanding and respect that, you know, because we've been programmed to resent dark energies. We've been programmed to resent the beings of the darkness. And, you know, we've got to realize that there's a lot of beings, not only of the light, but also of the dark, who are completing and fulfilling their agreements and, you know, awaiting. It's like when I go through this process of closure, you know, those five principles that I talked of before, I found that there's really dark, awful, negative entities who have been really brutal towards me. But when I went through the process of closure, it was in that moment, that was the turning point, which their whole attitude towards me changed. And they turned from an enemy into an ally right there and then.
Nice.
I acknowledged them for their service. I embrace them with love and gratitude in a respectful manner. I respect them and I'm grateful for them. And that's completely different to being resentful towards them and blasting them with energy.
Right.
You know, and they're waiting for contracts and agreements to be fulfilled, and then they're, you know, entirely happy to help us out. And they're already helping us by serving us, but they go into this other space. And that's why that also that king in the Lord of the Rings that you spoke of, he had to go into that realm of these, what some people thought of as ghosts, but they were interdimensional beings locked in a dark realm, serving like a penance for, you know, the I suppose, you know, the bad things that they've done in their time, and they were just waiting to be released and work with a cause that's going to be beneficial to all, mutually beneficial to everybody. So it's kind of like that as well. There's a lot of beings that are waiting to be released from their agreements and contracts.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, well, and I love it because, you know, in my humble opinion, people underestimate the dark. Like, here, I love giving examples. Okay. Are you familiar, George, with the group known as Anonymous, the hackers?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Personally, I love them, George. I love them. They're hackers, and they're essentially, you know, they're putting a little fear into the elite through, you know, ways that the elite would be fearful, which is their computers. And it's so funny, of course, because at one point about 2 months ago, I got hacked. My email got hacked, and I was so conscious to write, you know, hey, this sucks. You know, I wish I didn't get hacked. But I'm not a hypocrite. I support the hackers. So I'm just going to, you know, buck up, you know, clean up my email, you know, do what I have to do, because I really do understand, and I mean this truly, the benefits of the dark experience in this universe. I was saying on Monday night show, I enjoy being dark. I mean, I do. I have busted systems, George. I'm such an indigo. It's stupid, but I've done bad things too. I've done a lot of drugs, and you know, it's like, but I would be lying to you if I told you, oh yes, being dark was terrible. I hated, you know, selling drugs and making $3,000 a week for 12 years. I hated it. I couldn't wait to leave that life. That's bullshit. I did like it. I played in the dark. To this day, I still dance in the dark, and I am realizing, because the dark I dance in is the organic dark. And the organic dark is, you know, hello people, that's where birthing takes place. That's where creation takes place. The void, at some point, if we're going to go through from the fourth dimension into the fifth, we better get comfortable being in the dark, because we got to go through a void without getting afraid and going, take me back, I don't want to be here. You know, like, I'm preparing myself to be comfortable and at ease in an absolute dark, because it is the organic. And, you know, it's like I'm consciously unplugging my artificial programming that, you know, you know, I'm uncomfortable in the dark because something's going to get me. It's like, nothing's going to get me. My presence will protect me. And it's not that it's a protection. It's simply, because this is what I'm learning, in our presence, we're simply a frequency that they really, you know, they want to play with people who are unconscious. Why would they want to play with people who are conscious, they're present, and they're embodying the organic? I mean, because at some point, don't we kind of just go out of their field of reference because we're just too much energy to try and get? And on top of it, we don't taste, you know, we taste bitter to what, you know, they would think of as sweet. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, we go out of phase. We literally go to a vibration where we're no longer in their reach. We go out of their reach, and okay, they have no effect on us. And that's what's happening. We're increasing our vibration, and they keep wanting to pull us back into the vibration where they do have access to us, and they can, you know, implement their agendas and feed off our energy. But they can't do that much anymore. It's getting less and less all the time. Yeah, for sure. That's how I deal with chemtrails, how I deal with all these sorts of technologies. Whenever I go into a city, whenever I have to go into a supermarket, and the fluoros and all the chemical energies of the chemicals coming off all the foods and the aisles and all this sort of business, I put myself out of phase. That's how I deal with it. You go crazy if you think about all the different negative things going on that are designed to bring you down. It'll just eat you up, and the more you get focused on it, the more it's going to, you know, get to you. So I go through a process of acceptance. I accept that these products and these energies are on the planet. I accept that they're serving a purpose. I accept they have a right to be here right now, and they're part of the divine plan. And because I approach it in this manner, then I can organically put myself out of phase of the negative attributes. So I can use a computer for a few hours in a row and not be negatively affected by it, whereas before I was dramatically affected by it. But as soon as I employed this approach, everything changed. I can now go into a city and then come out of a major city and not feel drained and depleted in energies. I can hold my own in these energetic fields because I'm now out of phase of the negative energies from these technologies. And this is how we get through this. This is the secret to it all. You intentionally will yourself out of phase of the negativity. So when you're going to eat some food, you put yourself out of phase. You say, I'm not going to take on board the negative attributes of this food. You know, I'm going to take on the attributes of this food that's good for me, so I can be healthy and powerful and magnificent. You know, of course you try to eat, you know, healthy as you possibly can, but when there's moments that you do have to eat something that you would consider unhealthy and not in resonance with yourself, then that's a process you can use. And the doubt will bring it on. The doubt in that process will also bring on the negative effects of that food. But I've done it too with foods. I've done it with pollution, with chemtrails, with anything. You've got to realize that, you know, if you do it any other way, then you're giving power over to these technologies, to these negative attributes. You're saying that all this stuff, chemtrails and pollution and food additives and all that's more powerful than you are.
Right.
See?
Right.
So you've got to turn it around and have the mindset that, hang on a minute, no, I'm the co-creator of this experience. I'm a creator. I actually do have the power to change it if I want to. But it's your approach. It's your method. And then the method has to be in with respect and love and honor. And it has to be through universal law, L-O-R-E. And it's always done with respect and honor and acceptance and acknowledgement. So when we go through that process, like I mentioned earlier, that we do say, I acknowledge you, your existence here. I understand you have a role to play. But I'm also, you need to acknowledge, and I'm acknowledging that I am now aware, and I have a level of awareness when I can now put myself out of phase of your energies. And I'm now doing this. You know, and it's acknowledging that you do have the power as well. And you do it. You go, I'm now going to be out of phase. Because, like, to make it, give people a better understanding of it, there's radio waves all around us all the time. We're swimming in a sea of radio waves. And you get a radio station, and you turn that dial, and when you turn that dial, it is set to receive a frequency, so you lock into the frequency of a particular radio station. So So then it's engaged with that radio station and you listen to it. Well, it's the same principle. So put yourself out of phase so you don't receive the signals from these energetic patterns and waves, from whether it's HAARP or chemtrails or artificial ley lines or whatever, the mind control programs, everything, how to do. And the more we do it, the better we get at it. So it's a good idea to start doing it, because soon, with all the crap that's going to be going down on the planet, it's going to be really important that we hold our integrity, that we honor our sovereignty, and we do put ourselves out of phase of all these programs and agendas that they are, you know, in the process of implementing and getting ready to implement that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, no, see, this is so good, because this makes sense now why I understand that when I focus on my own integrative experiences, I kept getting the sense that when I was focusing on stuff that is indeed dark, but I kept getting the sense that I was untouchable to the other beings that wanted to manipulate me, and I didn't understand that. I'm going, I'm in the dark. You'd think you'd be vulnerable, but here's the difference. I'm in the organic dark. I'm taking me back in, as opposed to the dark of the artificial, which is the fear of what they're trying to perpetuate on the planet.
Well, the organic dark is honorable. You see, that's been the internal conflict. People haven't been able to reconcile darkness, because they weren't aware that there was two expressions of dark energies in the universe. There's the organic dark, which is an aspect of the universal creator, an expression of the universal creator. And then there's the synthetic dark, which is not an expression of the universal creator, but is facilitating its expression. And that's the expression of another being that's entered the universe because of the machinations. Let me explain it this way. This is a concept where it kind of blends in with some religious ideology, and I don't want people to get confused, because when it comes to duality, the very nature of light and the very nature of contrasting expressions, because we have what we call positive and negative, and then, you know, we have vibration, so we have two contrasting expressions. We have the universal creator that's created its positive expressions and its negative expressions, and it's created an overall positive realm, which you call the higher self, soul realms, and then it's created an overall negative expression in the universe, which you can call the great arena or the universal matrix, the organic one. Now, in keeping with the nature of contrasting expressions and the nature of universal law, that means that if you have the true creator of the universe, then what's required is you're going to have a being that is not of this universe, that is not the universal creator, but will claim to be. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yes.
It's a paradox.
Right?
It's a paradox,
about,
right?
Understanding the machinations and the essence and the nature of contrasting expressions, or what we call light. So we have this being that has come, you know, one of the earliest beings that came into this universe and went through the process of rising to the top of the what we could call the negative charge within, because even within the great arena, even though the great arena itself is an overall negative charge of the universe, within that domain there is a positive and a negative charge of the great arena itself. But on the negative charge of the great arena is where the synthetic universe resides. Okay? So it's the synthetic universe is overall encapsulated by the organic dark of the great arena. It's because that's the energy that facilitates its expression or its ability to exist. So we have within that synthetic universe, because this God entity who created the synthetic universe has gone about replicating the organic universe, within the synthetic universe itself we have a negative and a positive charge. That's the synthetic dark and the synthetic light, the synthetic negative and the synthetic positive. And within that, the synthetic negative, that's the snake or the satanic energy that is given to us by religion. okay? That's that expression of energy. But the organic dark, or the, you know, going back out of the organic negative charge of the great arena, that's, there's honor there. There is respect. That's the part of what we call negativity or dark that is honorable and respectful, you know? And this is the confusion that so many people have had. And, you know, it's like, to give you an idea, the organic dark is like, here is a mountain. Here is your challenge, and you get to see everything that you need to do, and then you go and do it. Okay? So it's going to be always honorable, honest, and upfront with you. Yes, it's going to provide the challenges for you, but it will be on the level with you, if you know what I mean. Whereas
of
the synthetic dark only seeks to deceive, to manipulate. It's into debauchery, masochistic energies, sadistic energies. That's a completely different flavor of dark altogether. And it's very important to understand the distinction between the two energies.
Well, I mean, that makes sense why challenge is a healthy organic dark energy, and lying is not. You know, I mean, you know, because I love challenges. I think that's part of the reason why I can say I'm not afraid to be dark, because I wouldn't consider heaven in the sense of a place that I was never challenged. I mean, inevitably, I would go crazy, because for me, I know I enjoy seeing my, like, I'm the kind of person, show me something and they say there's no way you can break that code. You know, I love those kind of challenges, because I'll look for a way. I mean, I you know what I'm saying? It's like that kind of stuff really fires me up. But and it's so funny, because I never realized there was an organic matrix. Now that's also new information. That's very, you know. So can we be in the matrix and just in the organic? Like, remember when we talked last time, we were saying, you know, after you kind of get clear and you get strong and, you know, we find our center, we realize, we got to go back in.
Yeah, well, where do you think all the extraterrestrial races that we consider our families are actually reside? They reside in the organic universal matrix, or in the great arena of the universe, you know, the ones that use technology, because remember, beyond the great arena or the universal matrix, there is no technology. Everything's organic consciousness. So, you know, so all these extraterrestrial races, and even, you know, so to a certain degree, certain light things, come from within the great arena, and they are on the level with life. It's just that we've been quarantined by this synthetic universe, and we have been totally exposed to its races of beings, its cultural philosophies, from all these different races that come from this synthetic universe. And make, you know, and it's not just a location that is, you know, a particular location in the universe. Don't forget, it's also a state of being. So it's like when people say, be in this world but not of it. So it's kind of like you can exist side by side with someone who's from the synthetic universe. So you can occupy the same space-time, so to speak, but you, well, in a way, but you can also experience your own individual time spheres, but also your own individual unique expressions and emanations, because it's your state of beingness that's important.
Right. Yeah, I feel that. That makes so much sense, that, because I remember when you were saying too, like a lot of people, you know, or I shouldn't, I've heard the conversations where you speak about that, you know, there was a point in time, I think in 2011 maybe, where your space family basically said to you, we need to go and leave you alone, because this is, at this point of the journey, you need to know that you're doing it for yourself, and to do it yourself. It's not that we don't love you, you know, but we need to let you do that yourself. And I really did, I understood that as, so any beings coming here, quote unquote, saying they're going to help us, see, I love that you said that, because if someone is coming here to help us, I immediately go, well, that can't be true family, because true family knows the best they can help me is to not help me and let me come into my own and know that I can, because I can. Right?
Yeah, and it's also, you can look at it like this. You know, you want to help your child ride a bike. Well, are you going to continue to hold on to that bike, or are you actually one day just going to let go and let your child actually ride it?
Excellent.
You know?
You're right on. Yeah, it's perfect.
So
that's a perfect
metaphor.
You've got to
take a step back. And the other key ingredient in the mix here is, you know, is this is of utmost importance. This is what I'm about to share too. Is, you know, let me just get the wording right. We have been programmed, right, to look outside of ourselves for help. So there's this underlying mental program that we're all running, that ET groups or beings from higher dimensions are going to come and help us. And the whole grand irony of this whole concept is, well, we're the ones we've been waiting for. So in other words, all these other extraterrestrials and higher dimensional beings that we've been waiting for are us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Right on.
Right? It's us.
Yeah, it is.
We've got to remember who we are. We're the ones that need to reclaim our sovereignty and step into our power and change the planet. You know, we're the ones we've been waiting for. That's what it means. We're those extraterrestrials. We're those beings from the higher dimensions that we're waiting to arrive. And the whole time, it's us that we've been waiting for. We're them. We need to step into our power and make it happen. Yeah, and we're going to know. You're just going to know when to do that. You're going to know what to do. You're going to know how to go about it. It's so important to realize that about ourselves.
Well, and
knowing that is the lore, L-O-R-E, it's the natural. Isn't the lore that we feel we're drawn to, we know?
That's why, that's another reason why the extraterrestrial groups are holding back, because they're waiting for us to wake up. You know,
right.
Transcending. When you transcend, what does that word mean? It means you end the trance.
I love it.
That's right, very on. Good.
Yes. Right on. Right on. Well, you know, and this... just so you know, Jeanine, we're going to go a few minutes after, because we can go at least 15 minutes after, so this will
okay.
get the whole 2 hours. And I know George is up for that, so thank you for that, George.
No worries.
Yeah, it's all good. We've done 4 hours. Are you kidding me? what I find so interesting, too, is like I got a hit the other night that, like I have fears around that... that when my memory wakes up fully to everything that I've experienced in the fourth dimension, the sense that I got was, in the divine moment when that memory becomes like a floodgate opening and I remember everything, if indeed, because I get a sense, I mean, I'm taking pieces in by doing the integration work, but I get the sense that there's like this wall, there's like a membrane, and behind that it's building like full disclosure of who I am, where I've been, this lifetime, all lifetimes, and when that comes in, there will be a divine moment of fear, but that moment will be the zero point compression, where so it will literally be the yin yang symbol in action, where the darkness, the light, it will be dynamic, it will be moving, and will actually, you know, break that membrane, because along with the fear of what I'm afraid happened to me is also the wisdom that it did.
Exactly.
So,
there's one word that can be used to describe that whole scenario, that whole process.
Okay.
It's resurrection.
Oh, wow. 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 Shut me
that's
up there,
great.
George.
That's,
yeah, that's deep. That's deep.
Yeah. So many great things tonight.
Raising people from the dead does not mean literally pulling someone out of a grave. I mean, that is just so low-level literal interpretation. Raising people from the dead means waking them up out of the deathly slumber, you know, the walking mm-hmm. dead in the trance. That's what it means to resurrect people on a cosmic level.
Yeah, that's right. And there, I mean, because it feels to me that, you know, it's almost like the organic knows the triggers are essentially, you know, it's like like a dike, and holes are popping in the dike, right? So a little bit of water is coming out, and, you know, you can cup your hands, right, and maybe take a sip, and, you know, and then a few more holes pop, and you can put a couple of pails down, you know. But and that's why I tell people, you know, do whatever's in front of you to do. Whatever your triggers are, take them in. Take them in, because it truly does feel, it is such a paradox that the feelings that feel the darkest to me, after I've integrated them, are truly the breathtaking breakthrough moments of a serenity that it has no compare. There is no comparing it to anything, because you can feel it. There's pieces of self, and in that pieces of self, you get more awareness, you get more confidence, you get more trust. You know, it's like, it's so, the organic knows what the hell it's doing, because it gives you the wisdom and the confidence to take the next step for the next part of whatever needs to come. You know, it's so brilliant in its intelligence. It's like, why reinvent it? Just go with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's important to flow with the process. Cynthia said something brilliant. She says, see through the process and see the process through.
Nice. Very good.
You know, and we really do need to flow with the process. It's like, I'm not resenting the coming darkness that's going to reveal itself on the planet. I'm not resenting that. I'm rubbing my hands together and I'm getting super excited. You know, because I'm not just seeing that as the be-all and end-all. It's like I sent an interview that I listened to recently to do with, you know, the Vatican and what have you. And I sent that to a friend of mine. He goes, oh, so it looks like the Vatican is going to introduce us to a new religion, and it looks like the New World Order is going to be created, implemented, and it will succeed. So we're all screwed then. And I thought, wow, isn't that a very limited foresight that
yeah.
this person had?
Exactly.
You know? So even though we're doing commentary, and it's important commentary, because, hey, guys, there's a storm coming, and are you just going to leave your house open and things lying around outside, or are you going to start preparing for the storm, right? It's about being sensible. That's all this is. But we're not just focusing on only the storm. We're also focusing on the sunny day that's coming after the storm, you know? Because we know the storm is just a temporary thing. It'll be something that needs to blow through. Is it going to be intense? Yeah, it's going to be intense. Is it going to be a wild ride? Yeah. Are there going to be scary moments? Yeah. You know? We're going to have fun and thrills and it's going to be crazy, but it's going to be fun, you know, because I'm not going to just approach this with doom and gloom and resentment. No, I'm like, bring it on, because this is the real, you know, we have this, we've been waiting for this for eras of time. This is the, dare I say, the cosmic orgasm at the end of the whole divine, oh, what's the word? Immaculate conception. I don't know how else to put it. You know?
This is
what we've all been waiting for. This is it. This is what we've been preparing ourselves life after life. Not only on the earthly plane, but go back into your cosmic journey. How many incarnations you've had? How long has your journey been? This is where we get to bring it all together, to put it all into practice, because everything that's challenged us out there is now can it challenge us here? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the darkness, grab all the awful synthetic dark, combine it all together in a very intense version and blast it onto humanity. That's what's happening. We're going to get blasted with it. And have you got what it takes to deal with it? Are you going to let it overpower you, overwhelm you, overcome you, and just eat you up? Or are you going to maintain your sovereignty? You're going to be, you know, defending your sovereignty, setting your boundaries, standing tall, standing strong, being your true organic nature, and functioning from your natural, authentic, and divine will. You know, this is what it's about. This is the test. This is the challenge. It's just so exciting. And we're going to get through it. Remember, it's going to blow through. And you just got to hold your way. That's all you got to do is hold steady. And for those of us who are going to get engaged into it, we know what we need to do. And for those who are going to be more of an observer and are going to be part of the cleanup crew afterwards, you'll know what to do. It's all good. There's no one's better than anyone else. But just make sure that you follow your heart, because if you don't, you're going to be in a program. It's either follow your heart or be in a program. It's that simple. That's simplifying the whole process. So follow your heart. Be true to yourself. Be real. Be authentic and genuine. You know, be organic, natural. That's the most important of all the things that we've shared here, because that is the foundation of your emanation here. You know, use that as the platform to springboard yourself into life.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, George. You really do. I love when you hold the sword and just put it out.
So rich.
It is. I mean, it just, because you know what it is? It's everything I know, and you know, I just know this, and you know, when you speak it, my cells, you know, everybody's jumping around in there. Yay!
You know, I did another interview at the station, Goldie, and they were saying the same thing. They're going, you know, it just feels right. It just, and it feels familiar, is what they were saying.
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, like I've always said, I'm not teaching anyone anything new here. I'm just trying to help you all remember. It's all just to wake up a bit. And then the rest is up to you. And it's brilliant, because it really, people, and we get the feedback through emails, people are remembering this stuff does feel right. It just makes them. So it's very, very exciting when we can function from this place of the heart and the true organic nature of life, not this other version of the heart in the heart chakra and the synthetic light programs. That's a different kind of love. So, you know, it's a replicated love, and so many people are falling for that. I did at one stage in my life, and I'm sure you guys have at some stage in your lives. But now this really true organic, this really true natural energy of love with all its incredible power and grace, it's a different state of being, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I do feel that, like I said, those moments, they're like the integrative moments of when a trigger and a shadow has been integrated. It's almost like they're little mini moments. They're mini moments of when that membrane, in my words, when that membrane's going to break and I'm going to have a colossal breakthrough. Because I love what Cynthia said, because one of the things I've been attracted to lately is the idea of life is a template. And once you understand the template, you understand it on all the levels. At least in this universe, you know, which is why I was asking about, you know, the virtues. And I don't really need to understand other universes at the moment, considering there's an ascension going on in this one, you know. But that template is like, because it just strikes me so. The template simplifies, you know, the process and the simplification. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but from the intellectual point of view, it's simple, and I can engage. My left brain wants to know, and my left brain does. It's beginning to see everything. You know, it's the fractal, it's the template, and the right brain is the one that goes, you know, all right, bring it on. You know, like, let's let's kick some ass, even if kicking some ass is ultimately being in total humility. Because I really do get that a lot of dark things that I am now are the holding of the virtues of integrity, which is, I mean, almost unheard of at this point. There's so many people lying about everything. It's like, and I love it. So what's the challenge? The challenge for me is to be honest and be transparent. Because can you share with me the importance of transparency?
Yeah, absolutely. You see, the more we evolve and the more we get into these higher realms or higher energies, and the more we get in touch with our organic and essential self, then we are basically getting into the realm of knowing, all knowing. So therefore, you see everything, you know everything, and you communicate with everything. There is nothing that can hide from you. So we become totally transparent. You've got to get used to this. If you're going to think you've got thoughts that you want to hide, you know, everyone's going to be able to read each other's thoughts, and we won't be functioning from thought anyway. We'll be functioning from heart soul essence to heart soul essence, a different form of communication. But even if you go into a collective hive mind situation, then you you know, all your thoughts parent everybody else anyway. So either way, everyone's getting into a place of no longer being able to hide in nooks and crannies within their own minds, or, you know, little realities within themselves that they can hide from anybody else. But that's because that is a fear-based mentality anyway, thinking that you can hide something from someone else and they don't actually know that you are, you know, that they have access to that. On one level, of course they do. The higher self of the other person knows exactly what you're thinking about them. And here's the grand irony is when we actually go through this process of ascension, and we are going to be reviewing this incredible journey that we've had, because this is what happens in life review when you've passed over anyway, we actually get to experience what the other person experienced to be on the receiving end of us. So we will know every little tiny thought, feeling, emotion they had about us, and what it was like to be on the receiving end of our expressions. And we will also, because we've already know about what it's like to be on the receiving end of their expressions, so we will know all the little thoughts, and they will know all our little thoughts and feelings, and the whole lot would be revealed.
I look forward to it. I mean, you know, because I do still choose to not share some things on the air.
The world's not ready to be 100% honest. It's just not ready. You know,
right.
we can't. There are some things we hold back on still. I do at times. And most of the time, I'm just as open and as honest as I possibly can. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you know, intimate little private things that are going on in my life. It's not appropriate at this point in time. But there will come a time when none of that will be necessary.
Yeah. No, exactly. It was you and Janine have been very helpful to me to help me understand that at this point in time, it is okay to still hold back, because, like you, I mean, I'm intentionally putting all of it out there. You know, my shit, my beauty, my ugly, my dark, my light. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting it all out there. I mean, and it, not just to show people that, you know, that it can be done, but in a lot of, I'm compelled to, you know, this is the journey. It's organically what, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not afraid of it, to be honest. I mean, I'm not afraid that people know, you know, I stole money from a bank when I was 21. I'm just not afraid of that. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? There was a time where that haunted me. There was a time it haunted me, you know, that I had, I don't even know, I can't think right now because I feel so good, so nothing's haunting me. That's all I know. I mean, I can feel it. That, you know what it is, it's like the programs, George, I mean, it's great, even when I'm in your presence, they're just not there. It's like I have to work sometimes to talk about things with an emotion, because I can share the experience, but I don't have the emotion on a lot of them because I integrated the emotion. It's the triggers, you know, that electrical charge is not there. And I know sometimes it sounds like I'm, you know, like I sound phony, but it's like, well, you know, if you caught me 3 weeks ago, I would have been talking about, you know, all right, I had to chill for a while and, you know, sit in my room and feel all that pain because, you know, it was definitely there then. But once it's integrated, you know, it's really, it's not there from the individual point of view. It becomes part of my collective. You know, now it's serving me. And it's just, like I said, it's just such a brilliant process and template. Why reinvent it? You know, just, you know, fly with it. George,
yeah.
I want to make sure that people can get a hold of your book and your movie and all your beautiful work. So we don't have to hang up right now, but I want to say right now where to get a hold of you, so I know that doesn't, you know, I want to make sure that's there for you.
Okay, thank you. People can go to the main website, which is ourjourneyhome.com.au, and they can also go to the book specific for the book that we wrote called Our Universal Journey. So it's ouruniversaljourney.com.au, and they can also go to a documentary that was made and featured myself and Cynthia, made by Sean Vandenberg, and that is ourjourneyhomemovie.com.au. So there's three great websites there, and we've also got our little podcast radio program going on, which is superwooradio.com.au, and superwoo is super and woo spelled W-O-O .com.au. So there's lots of things there people can explore and have fun with, and you know, it's an exciting time in our lives right now, very, very exciting. And ask yourself how you are going to approach this pending challenge, this pending global challenge that is, you know, we're on the cusp or the verge of having it implemented into the planetary arena very, very soon. So ask yourself that question. I think it's a very good time to start contemplating that concept.
Right on. Do you have anything you wanted to share as a closing? And I get that was a closing, but I didn't see it.
It was, but there's also, you know, two statements that mean the same thing. You know, everyone's out there reading books and this, that and the other, and that's good. It's good to, you know, keeping on touch with what's going on, but learn to read from the book in your heart. And another way of wording it is, my friend Leonie shared this, to quote Leonie, we need to read from the scrolls in our own soul.
Very nice.
So
that's great.
Maybe that's something to contemplate there.
Right on.
I've been contemplating that. I love that. I was thinking about that just today. That's wonderful.
Nice.
I want to say thank you, George. This was great, going through the organic process of the compression. I could tell the last 2 weeks have been a little challenging, and tonight I just feel less challenged or anxious. And, you know, tonight was like the image of the universe moving along. I feel very comforted. Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you. I really cherish the opportunity to have come on your program, on your show, and share this time with you, because it's always a joy. And thank you from my heart, too. I really do appreciate it.
We love you, George. We love you. And listen, send a big hug to Cynthia from Goldie, because I love that she does the emails, because then I get to connect with her energy when she doesn't come on the show. I have a strong connection with her, and I think of her often and very warmly. So please send her my love, and thank you, George. I mean, thank you. You know, this is amazing times. You are amazing. You have never in Goldie's world, you have never done anything but open my eyes, open my heart, and shine some beautiful radiance in my world. That's all you've ever
wow.
done for me. Yeah.
Wow, that's just such beautiful words. Thank you. That really touched me. Thank you.
Oh. Mwah. I Thank love you. You, baby. I love our world. I love our Mother Earth. I'm so excited.
Wow.
I know you're busy for a couple of weeks. I figure if the world is still standing, however that is, Maybe we can hook up around the summer solstice, and you know, we'll talk, you know, and see what's been happening, and share from there.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. Yeah, and ask yourselves where you need to be on Big Mama's body during the equinox. You know, how are you going to experience the equinox? It's think about that too. I recommend that people should make time and flow with the biorhythms of life. I think it's just such an important and momentous occasion, the ending of the cycle. It's just so forgotten.
Right on. I think I'll be in the woods. I know where I'll be. I'll be with my trees. I love my trees. Goldie and her trees. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate everybody that was on the phone lines. I know you guys wanted to ask George questions, but we kind of decided already that there was a momentum and a rhythm that me, George, and Janine create. We speak very universally. George does enough radio programs that, you know, they take callers. Sam Muggsy, she's great for that. Me, George, and Janine just find it best for us, and truly I believe as a template for everybody if we just keep it between me, George, and Janine. So hate me if you will. That's the way we fly around here. So, George, thank you. Have an amazing next 5 weeks. Cynthia said you were busy. I know you're creating the course. I'm very excited. I definitely plan on engaging with that because I know it's going to be phenomenal. And
oh yeah,
else,
pretty thick.
It's deep, isn't it? I know it's deep.
It's about releasing ourselves from the matrix, both the synthetic and the organic matrix. So it's as big as it gets.
I'm in. You just let me know when it's available and how we're playing this, you know, online, on the phone. If it's in Australia, I'll rob a bank. I'm only joking.
Oh.
You are amazing. Both of you are amazing. Janine, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're
in presence.
Thank you.
I love you, baby. All right, everybody,
Good night.
An amazing night. We'll see you next Monday, and stay true to yourself, stay authentic, and believe that where you're going is really where you're going to end up, because it is. All right, everybody, take care.
Thank
Bye.
You, George. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Janine. See ya.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.